Hi, this is Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the Internet Advisor, and this is our favorite part of the program because this is when we get to answer the questions that you, our listeners, have sent to us by email when we're preempted on our flagship station, WJR, and that is the case this week. So we've got lots of stuff we're going to be talking about, questions that you passed on to us, and then we're going to put our heads together and see if we can come up with some answers for you here on the Internet Advisor. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. I am Foster Brown, that co-host of the program. And with me in the studio here, I'm delighted to have them back with me again as my posse. Gary Baker, good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Mr. Cal Carson.
Absolutely wonderful.
And also Shane Hamlin. Good to have you here. Been a strong, silent partner with us, but he's going to be speaking up because we're going to be handling your questions that you sent in to us by email. Folks, generally speaking, this hour of our program will be the only live hour that you'll be hearing on WJR, which is our flagship station in Detroit. So on a regular basis from April through September, every Saturday from 5 until 6 p.m. following the gardening show with Dr. Dean Krauskopf, you'll be able to call in to WJR in Detroit and get your questions answered there during that hour by the crew that's in the studio here. So we'll take those live. On this last occasion that we're being, I think it's the last occasion we're being preempted.
So if you're talking about bugs in your garden, call Dean. If you're talking about bugs in your computer, call us.
That's right.
All right, got it.
The common theme will be bugs, or what's bugging you will be the common theme. Afternoons here on WJR. We're delighted to be following Dean Krauskopf, a wonderful guy, and just a long history of answering questions about gardening, and we also have an almost 20-year history of answering questions here, Gary and I, questions you've sent in. Now, this week, so that's going to be on a regular basis, and I want to maybe just kind of mark that off, that when you have a question about your computer, you're going to have a chance to call that question in live on WJR, 760 AM in Detroit. And for today, however, though, we've got a number of people had sent us email questions, and by the way, you can still do that. You can go to internetadvisor.net, click on the Contact Us button, and then you'll have an opportunity there to send us an email, and people have done that throughout the week, and matter of fact, some we've gotten who have been there for a little bit of time, but we're going to be tackling them here today and answering those questions.
And make sure in that email that you give us your contact information so we can respond back to you.
Absolutely. And also give us a little bit of background on what the computer is, what the operating system is, helps us then to be able to tackle those questions. Another person who is a regular part of our program is Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. Let's pick one of the first ones here, and that is about a very important cybersecurity conference coming up.
Yeah, April 13th at Walsh College. They're having a program at the Center for Cybersecurity. Well, it's called the Center for Cybersecurity Leadership Conference. General Stone, who is the Michigan National Guard general that is in charge of cyber and a lot of the other stuff related to that, he's going to be speaking and going into a lot of details about what the National Guard is doing or to protect folks from cyber attacks and things like that, and what businesses and individuals should do to protect themselves as well.
That's a huge theme. I know the governor mentioned that is a big theme, and certainly for ourselves personally and also in terms of business and around the state, a huge, huge issue, and that's cybersecurity. Well, Mike, I just wanted to touch on one of your headlines, and folks, there are many, many, many more headlines that Mike brings, but I wanted to talk on another kind of a thing that is a benefit to people who receive your MI Tech News, and that is that they can get some very special kinds of discounts at times.
Yeah, the Telematics Update, which has been hosting a conference out at the Novi Suburban Expo Center out there for, I don't know, at least a decade, is offering a $100 discount to my readers and listeners.
Wow.
If they use a special code so they can get into this program. And what is telematics? Well, it's the old, what has morphed into all the gadgets in the cars today.
Right.
It used to be pretty limited, but now it truly, as you know, Microsoft founder and chairman Bill Gates said, cars are really computers on four wheels these days. And the differentiator anymore is not so much you know, what it looks like, and how big the engine is, but what kind of gadgets you got on inside. And you'll be able to see a lot of that stuff at this expo, and with this discount, be able to get in for $100 less. Hey, you know, what the heck?
What I wanted to talk about here, folks, was the fact that not only do you get all this information about what's going on in terms of technology, entrepreneurship, and news around the state and the country as well, when you subscribe to MI Tech News, and that can be done very simply by going to InternetAdvisor.net, scrolling down the page and hitting that subscribe button right next to Mike's smiling face. And you also then get access to all sorts of other good things, like that discount to some of the things that are coming up. And you also have a lot of great resources now that are beyond just the printed stories.
Well, of course, we have this show that we produce as an audio podcast for folks that can't listen live, but of course, we always encourage them to listen live. But if they can't, then we offer it on demand. And we're going to be rolling out a product very shortly, hopefully sometime in the second quarter, that'll involve video podcasting, so you'll be able to see our smiling faces.
I don't know if that'll be an improvement in our case, but hopefully in others' cases as well.
We won't scare them, right, Foster?
Mike, enjoy your holiday weekend.
You too, Foster.
Take care. A springtime cold prevailed when I pre-recorded that conversation with Mike. He was heading to Grand Rapids to celebrate the holidays with his family out there. And by the way, coming up in just a moment, we're going to be starting in with our questions. And that is, again, I say, going to be the focus of this hour of the program on a regular basis. Either that you will be able to call in live when we are going to be on live, and that will be starting the second week of April all the way through September. Every Saturday from 5 until 6 after Dr. Dean Krauskopf with The Garden Show, and that's from 4 until 5. So, great time to ask your questions, as Gary said, about bugs, either in the garden or in your computer. And speaking of those bugs, Shane Hamlin, Cal Carson, and Gary Baker and I will be talking about getting some answers for you about to stamp out those bugs. Thank you so much. When we are live, that 800-859-0957, that number will be the key for you to call in here, and I hope make it a regular visit on Saturday afternoons and early evening at 5 o'clock when the Internet Advisor is on the air to answer questions. And Gary, that's how you and I started this whole business, didn't it, 1998?
Yeah, that's right. We actually started doing this, but not with a formal recognized show. We started in 97 in the fall.
That's right.
I remember they asked me over the holidays when nobody else was going to be listening anyway to come in and do, you know, kind of a test. And somehow they let us pass and let us start the show.
So. Well, people were desperate to know what this internet thing was and how to get on it and around it. And as we said, sometimes they get over the problems that they found there. So Cal and Shane, thanks for you guys being here in particular. You guys are our techs. I know Shane all week long. Day in and day out at your shop, which is Comtech Services in Sterling Heights.
Correct.
You're answering questions when people come in off the streets, right?
All day. Every day they come in, just ask a question and leave. Do it a lot.
And I do a lot of repairing on the computers and working on things.
A lot of phone calls, too.
One of the first questions we had coming up, by the way, Cal, was one that you picked out to take, kind of to tackle right off the bat, and it was about the Internet Explorer.
Yeah, a lot of people, there was a person who wrote in, and they said, let me see if I can find that article. I'll just read it real quickly.
David,
okay, this is from David, and he writes, and he says, I heard on another radio program, why would he be listening, that there would be plans to eliminate Internet Explorer. My wife and I find this disturbing because we only rely on IE to print out our financial without color blocks and covering some of the information. Rely on IE for making updates to my Yellow Pages website. If Google Chrome, if I use Google Chrome, all I get is the text in that HTTP format. And he wants to know, is there any truth to the matter that IE is going to be eliminated? And eliminate is not the word I'd like to use, but Microsoft is looking into creating a better and more robust browser. Right now, it's been codenamed, from what I've heard, Project Spartan.
Oh, which we all love here.
Yes,
absolutely.
And it's going to be appearing in Windows 10.
Right.
So if you're worried about whether or not there's going to be a browser in Windows, there'll be a browser there. It just won't be IE. IE has ran its course, and Microsoft wants to make a browser that's more robust and better in all ways.
One of the podcasts that I listen to during the week is the Windows Weekly with Leo Laporte and Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. I don't know if any of the rest of you listen to that. Catch it every night.
I have it on in my store all day.
It's fascinating.
TV.
Yeah, Twit TV. He's got, and what they just said recently is the most recent build of the Windows 10 previewer that's out. For instance, I'm running the courtesy of Microsoft, the Microsoft Surface Pro 2, and I have some, I'm running Windows 10, a preview on there. And on the Windows Pro 3 machines that are out there right now, you can run a preview that has now, just now, received the Spartan browser. And it is Spartan in the sense that that dictionary definition of that is very stripped down, very basic. If you've used Chrome, in some ways, it's very much like it. Not a lot of bells and whistles and bars, you know, like toolbars and things like that. The key thing that they made in a comment on there is that, as you said, Cal, it doesn't mean the end of Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer will continue as the Microsoft browser. However, in some of the smaller devices, like the on the tablets and on some of the laptops or on smaller devices than that, where real estate is a really important deal, you'll probably find the Spartan will be there front and center. But for people who are in enterprise, and Gary, I know that in dealing with businesses, Internet Explorer has been extremely important.
Yeah,
been,
and some things are coded so that it's just Internet Explorer that will work with some businesses. Maybe they shouldn't, but that's the way it's been because they've used technology that's been part of Internet Explorer. And I think the whole idea of getting back to a more Chrome-like, a more Mozilla-like browser, very lightweight, makes a whole lot of sense for Microsoft, absolutely. Especially if they can continue both for a while. But I would hope that eventually people would move over to a better browser.
Just please, God, don't do what they did with the first with Windows 8, where you had two Internet Explorers. Remember that? On the Metro side or on the side wasn't it an incredible experience?
Just brutal.
Yeah,
because and the controls were in different places, and you never knew which one you were using, because on the desktop it had the more, if you will, traditional Internet Explorer. But if you happened to be on that other side, the side with the colored blocks, the Metro side, you had a completely different experience.
Your address bar was at the bottom, and it was very hard to navigate through it.
I never had a problem at all with it. I'm sorry. This is an Apple machine.
Snark.
No, so, but I do agree. The paradigm shift was extremely drastic.
Yes.
In that particular case, I even, as being an IT professional, okay, I'll use that line, found it difficult to remember to switch back and forth. And now the bar is on the bottom.
Yeah. Hell, I could just see them. They couldn't have changed it any more than they did.
Yes.
Hey, let's take the address bar and put it at the bottom. We'll really mess with people there.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't have done any worse of a job.
But you know what? If it hadn't have said Internet Explorer and it had been come out from another company, right?
Yeah.
Everybody would have gone, you know, this is cool. This is like Chrome.
Or they would have been fine, and they would have said, okay, I just use IE. I don't want to use that other browser.
Just pick. Right.
But when they called it IE, they just made enemies all over the place.
Yeah, they just shouldn't have. You know, there a lot of things that they did made some sense if they were a startup, if they were like some of their competitors where they didn't have one. So then when they put one out, people would learn it.
Well, and part of the problem
it's this backwards compatibility problem. And any company has that problem. It's hard to cannibalize your own, you know, older technology.
Well, isn't it also, too, Shane, that they were trying to do too many things with Windows 8 when it first came out?
Yeah, I mean, there's just way too much stuff going on. I mean, I personally can get by because I'm an IT guy. I can get through it, but the average person, just overwhelming.
Yeah, what they really needed to do was to just make a definitive line between the two. They should have brought out Windows 8, said, this is our new operating system, this is what we have here.
Right.
And then if you want to stick with the old stuff, just use Win 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then Win 7, you'd have the old IE, and Win 8, you'd have something called Metro IE or whatever you want to call it. And then just, if you put a definitive line between the two, then people aren't as quite bent out of shape. You know, it's like the difference between Win 7 and XP.
Have you had a chance to use Windows 10 at all?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I don't notice a ton of a lot of difference. I mean, besides some of the startup menu stuff, but I just did it maybe about a month ago.
Oh,
I did it to my phone,
Oh, okay, that's right. You went with his phone, right?
It isn't much different.
No, it isn't. It's almost, no.
I'm looking for changes, in fact.
Yeah.
What's different about it?
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, yes, and as a matter of fact, it was fascinating. I saw an article written by an Apple iPhone user talking about how positive the experience was running a Windows phone. It really is very, very comfortable and very intuitive.
If you're a Windows person, I mean, a Windows phone, I mean, it's very smooth.
It will be, as a matter of fact, you'll be very little difference between using a Windows phone, a Windows tablet, or using a Windows desktop or desktop.
Cal? And I'm finding that now. Right now, my laptop, my desktop, my Xbox One, my phone, everything is the same. Yep. Like my media is shared automatically on every device, and I don't have to do anything but log in.
So I think we come through the dark ages, I think, in some ways. But for this listener who was asking the question about Internet Explorer, is it going to go away? No, it won't.
They can rest easy. There'll be a browser there for them to use, and it'll probably be a browser that will be compatible with the institutions that they deal with, as long as that institution rewrites their applications to match that browser.
Yeah. Right. Can any of you think back to when we didn't have Internet Explorer or when it was competing with? What was it competing with?
Netscape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember that?
The Big Mosaic End. Before that.
And Mosaic before that. There was a time when you had a competitor.
Oh, and I remember there was a time when you got IE on a Mac.
That's right. That's right. My goodness. How times have changed. Well, I guess good news, folks, is it's changing again. And this time, it looks like with Windows 10, it is going to be much easier to use. Back with more of your questions and some answers for you as well. Coming up here, pardon me, I was so choked with emotion when we finished that last segment. Got to straighten out now, I think.
That's what it was.
Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamblin. And we're answering questions that you submitted to us. Shane's got one coming up in just a moment. Cal, just quickly, before we get into that, there's a scam going around that you want to remind people to watch out for again.
Yeah, they're getting really, really, you know, social engineering is amazing tricks. And they've got a new one out that's been going on. At least I've had anywhere between 8 and 9 people call me about this. And what it is that you'll be sitting at home minding your own business, and the phone will ring, and the person will say, we're your IT provider, and we've gotten messages that there's a lot of corrupt files coming out of your computer. We need to see if we can take care of that for you. Would you like us to fix it? And if so, we can connect to your computer if you give us some information, and we'll get in there and we'll fix it for you. This is not a legitimate deal at all.
No.
First of all, your IT provider wouldn't be calling you to offer that type of service in the first place.
We only wish they would, right?
Yeah. And then what they're trying to do is, in the course of talking to you, they will say, well, we'll charge you X amount of dollars, usually somewhere between $100 and $200, to fix this problem. And if you'd be kind enough to give me your credit card number, we can get this going right now.
And that'll be the cheapest day that you'll have in the future, right? Because they'll use that for a whole lot of things.
Oh, yeah. They'll just go hog wild and run up your money. So you want to, number one, if you're not having any problems in the first place, then you shouldn't even talk to them in the first place. You can just say thank you very much and hang up the phone. And if you are having problems, you generally will initiate that call, not someone calling from the outside saying, hey, we noticed something wrong with your computer, because they really don't have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes a person may be having had problems and thinks, oh, well, maybe they can solve this for me because I haven't been able to. Don't, folks. Don't give in to that. You know, that's the time to take your machine over to something like Comtech Services, Shane, and have somebody you trust work on it.
Yeah, I get that all day. People come in every single day.
Wow.
And I say, well, who did you talk to? And they said Microsoft. And I said, oh.
Oh, no.
You know, and what it is they're searching. They're going to their search engine, whether it be Google or Bing, and they're putting in, you know, Microsoft support. And, of course, the first search result is MicrosoftHome.com. So they think they're going to Microsoft's website, and they're just getting clobbered. I mean,
So that's another aspect. That's not somebody calling you.
No.
That's right. Another version of it.
You're calling them.
Yeah.
Because they've bought up all that ad space from Google. They're right at the top. You know, Google.home.com or Google Home.com or, I'm sorry, Microsoft Home.com. Those are all
When do you know, guys, that you've got the legitimate, you're going to Microsoft?
Well, the only one that I know that's legitimate, it'll say Microsoft. Well, the best way to do is just to go to Microsoft.com, and then from their site, go look for support.
Okay, good.
Because usually when you do a search with it, Google seems to be a little bit more than Bing. Bing doesn't have as many advertising paid, you know. But they're usually the first top five results. And it'll say ad, and then you'll see a little line, a little thin black line, and then below that is your true results.
You don't unpaid for results.
And I kind of wish they would step up and change that. Yeah. But they're making a ton of money.
So let's just stop that and make that point to people who are out there looking for help. Legitimately, you're out there looking. The two tips there, one is if you're on Google or on Bing or on other search engines, the first ones you see are going to be sponsored. Mm-hmm. The ones that are right up front. So go down a little further.
They'll clearly say ad beside them.
Right. And Google, they will. So that's identified there. Go below that. The other thing that you mentioned, Cal, is if you're dealing with Microsoft, and I would imagine with Google as well, is you go to Microsoft.com or Google.com. And from there, go through their support sites.
Or if you're dealing with the manufacturer, it's Dell.com or Gateway.com. Right.
And I just did a little test. I mean, I went to Bing and I did Microsoft support and I searched it. First thing that comes up is Microsoft.com. No ads, no nothing.
Okay,
it goes right to their site. Google's a little different. Google, you've got the first, looks like the first three, four. Microsoft.myphonesupport.com. There's one that's a real one. Microsoft.com/Troy. You know, I mean, there's, you know, myapptech.us. These all come up from Microsoft Support, and they would think it's real.
Yeah, and we're looking at the URLs.
When in doubt, rather than go to a search engine, whether it be Google or Bing or any of them, go directly to the vendor.
Yep.
If you go directly to the vendor, you got a better chance of getting the right people, and they may even be able to lead you to someone who can handle it, or they'll handle it for you themselves. The other thing is, check local. You know, it's kind of like, you know, with produce and stuff, check local. See if you find someone in your area that does that type of work for you. Or better yet, ask a friend. Who do you get to fix your computer
for? And who do you trust?
And who do you trust? Who are those people, that sort of thing? And at the very worst, go to internetadvisor.net and go down to the bottom of our webpage. We have our trusted computer sources down there as well.
Excellent. And those are people that you folks out there have called us and said, these people are great to work with. Okay, Shane, did you have a question you want to tackle?
Oh, let's see here. I seen there was a couple of them here. Let me see. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one. This one came from Joe Jensen. He wrote us not too long ago. He stated, my wife at work has Windows 8, which I hate.
Lots of capital letters and exclamation points. Yeah, so,
okay. Her computer only has Windows Defender on it. No other antivirus. Is this okay, or does she need more with Windows? She's having problems with spyware and other garbage popping up on her computer. Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, Windows 8 has built-in antivirus and spyware software built into the machine. I don't care if you put Norton, McAfee, Advanced, anything on that. If she's getting spy pop-ups and bloatware on her machine, there needs to be a correction of habit for the user.
Okay.
You know, when a customer comes in and says, you know what, and I do this a lot, I'll fix a computer, and literally the next day they're saying, well, you didn't fix it. I said, okay. They're right back doing their same old habits. You know, they're going to sites they shouldn't, and they literally will reinfect it over and over and over again. 99.9% of those infections are all user error. You know, I have the same. All I have on my computers is Windows Defender. That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't get infected. You know why? Right. Because I don't use email like they do. I don't go to random
sites.
That's
a very good point.
You know, and they're just constantly getting infected over and over again.
So it doesn't matter how many suits of armor you have on if you're doing dangerous stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, kind of like, you know, if I was a tire shop, okay, and I just put new shocks on your car and new tires, you know, because you were driving down in, you know, Detroit and you just blew out all your tires. And you got them fixed. And then the very next day you go down that same road again and blow them out again. It's not the tire's fault. It's the tire shop's fault at all. You know, it's your fault because you continually do the same thing over and over again.
That's right.
And that's like one thing. When a customer comes into us, we'll hand them a little sheet that's kind of like preventative measures.
Oh, okay.
To kind of help them keep clean.
What are some of the key things on that?
You know, don't reply to links on your email. Nothing is free. You know, don't take phone calls from, you know, a lot of the things that we talk. You know, sure. It just kind of reminders, kind of hammer it in. Yeah. Common sense, and they'll swear by it. I didn't do anything. And, yeah. You know, you don't want to say, well, yes, you did, and you scold. You feel like you're scolding somebody all the time, yelling at them. But and that's what it is. It's not Windows 8. It's not that they have Windows only Defender. Right. It's something that she's doing, whether it be an email or a Facebook link or something that she's gone to.
Right. It's interesting you mentioning Facebook, because Facebook now has a lot of links that you can click off on that can take you some places that are really nasty. In addition to which, I'm finding more and more on Facebook, things are popping up. I'm getting news, quote-unquote, news items that are themselves dangerous. I mean, I'll see a story like, can you believe what this dog did or something like that? Yeah. And if I'm dumb enough or tired enough, I'll say, oh, well, that's it.
No matter what, it'll catch your interest,
oh,
right?
Oh, man.
You know, in some ways, Facebook is social engineering buried into it all over the place.
Absolutely.
And once again, as Gary would say, good old-fashioned common sense. You know, if it sounds too good to be true, there's nothing free. You know, the whole shooting match goes along with it.
Trust me, the mermaid did not wash up on the beach. trust me, it didn't happen. Okay, your neighbors down in Kentucky did not capture Bigfoot. I know this for a fact. So quit clicking those links. I mean, if you need that entertainment, I'll give you my email and I'll make up a story and send it to you once a day if it makes you feel happy. Right?
I like the Bigfoot one. I really want to go there.
No, that's a whole new business, making up emails that you could send to people that are harmless.
Oh.
You can make some money on that.
Here's a good thing. Here's a good rule for Facebook. If you click on it, it immediately opens up another browser, close it. If it's going to take you away from Facebook, do not use it.
That's a very good point.
If it opens within Facebook, you're okay. So if the movie opens in with Facebook or the picture opens in with Facebook, you're all right.
But the video plays within
Facebook. As soon as it wants to redirect you to another pop-up or another window, immediately close it.
Excellent points. Folks, are some good old common sense kind of things that are very important to remember. It doesn't matter how much you pay for software security. If you still got some of those bad habits going, you're going to get stung anyway. We'll be coming back again for our last segment, answering some questions here on the Internet Advisor. Just before we wrap things up here on our question answering hour, I'd like to thank Shannon very much for performing above and beyond the call of duty. You folks have no idea about the grenades that she's been juggling back there on the other side of the glass. Shannon, thank you so much for making this come true here. And thank also Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin for being in studio here, guys. Great on this holiday weekend. Thanks for being with us. Let's, guys, wrap up with one final question here. Cal, you want to start that one off?
Yeah, sure. And this is from Mike, and he writes in, he goes, hi, I wanted to buy a good wireless router for about $100. Do you have a recommendation, Cisco or whoever you recommend? And there's a Cisco bought out a company called Linksys.
Right.
And so I like Linksys's routers even before Cisco bought them out, but they've gotten even better since they've incorporated some of Cisco's technologies with it. And if you go to their website, store.linksys.com, they usually have specials out there every now and then, and they have a great router out there right now. It's the Linksys EA6200 AC900 Smart Wi-Fi Wireless router. Now, this router normally goes for $150, but they got it on sale right now for $69.
Ooh, go for it.
And it's a great router. It works really well. And here's another good thing about it. If he buys it at the Linksys store, he can play with that router for 90 days.
Oh.
If he doesn't like it on day 89, as long as it gets back to Linksys, they'll give him the money back.
What are some of the features in there? It would handle what bands?
It handles all of the traditional bands that are available at this time.
Plus AC?
Yes, it definitely handles AC as well.
AC is the most recent protocol. And does it have a number of antennas on it? Like it has that MIMO technology?
This one is really cool because the antennas are concealed on this particular one as opposed to the ones that stick up.
Yeah, stick up. Right, okay.
So it'll fit in a nice space and not take up a lot of have a lot of things sticking out where the cat can get tangled up.
What do you think, Shane? Can you get a decent router for $100?
Oh yeah, and I totally recommend Cisco. That's in my opinion the best in the market. Okay. They come out with a very You know, and I've dealt with a lot of them, and a lot of the cheaper ones, you know, you go to the store and you'll say, "Ooh, look at that, it's a $29 router."
Oops.
You're going to be replacing that probably in about a year.
Yeah.
They burn out. They just overheat and they burn out. Cisco, they last a lot longer. And their price, their interface is nice, you know, and easy to use.
That's a very good, it's very important point, yeah.
Most people, you know, I really wish if you wanted to increase your performance at home for Wi-Fi, speed and range, take a look at your router. Most of these people are still using these old G routers that they've had in the house for years.
What was it, the A, B, G, and then there was N.
N and then AC. I mean,
if your router only goes up to G, about time to get a new one.
You should be changing your router like you change your computer. Maybe not as often, but you know, a router after 4 years, it's time to take a look at. Possibly you need something faster.
I thought I was fine until I changed routers, and oh, what a difference!
Oh yeah,
what a difference it made. And I bought an ASUS router, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. It was a very good one. What I like about it is that it has, and I think a lot of the new routers have this, they have a guest sitting on it.
Yeah.
So you set up the security, and you're all protected, and nobody can get into
network.
Your network.
Correct.
But the guests can come in the house and say, "Can I use your router?" Sure. And here's the password for it, and get on the...
I mean, I currently have four networks running in my house right now.
Oh, really?
Three of them are wireless. I have the wireless one that came with my Comcast modem.
Okay.
And then they had their Netfinity wireless that they give to everybody and their mother on the street.
That's right.
And then I have a second router sitting off to the side, and that's just for when guests come in. I have them get on that because it's got a little better bandwidth than the Cisco router.
Excellent.
And then I've got one more that I have just specifically for me.
And there's certain things that I would recommend you do when you get a new router. Change the name immediately. Always change the router, the Wi-Fi name, to something that's unique and different. Don't just use a Linksys 5 or 543.
Yep.
You change, and you can have fun with it too. I mean, you can tell your neighbor's dog is barking up late at night. You can change your wireless name to put your dog in the house or shut your dog up. I mean, you can do all kinds of fun things with that. I used to call some wireless networks virus warning to keep people off my network.
That's a good idea.
That's a great
one. You always want to do that. You want to change the name. You also always want to encrypt it. You always want to put that security on there.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I've driven down the neighborhood and just pulled over to the side of the road and seen who was uncrypted.
Was open. We used to call that war driving. Yeah.
And the other thing that people always do, because they're excited to get this thing up and going and running, stuff like that, they don't change the admin password on the router. And if I go and I see Cisco 501 router, I know right off the bat the password is admin, and I know what the password is. And just for fun, as a convenience to that person that left it off, I changed the password for them.
Do you then tell them what the password is?
Well, you change the name of your business to the Wi-Fi name with your phone number and change your password. So now they've got a company. We're joking, folks. We're joking.
It's just having a little bit of fun.
But yeah, and you also want to make sure if your machine doesn't have the WPA2. If it doesn't at least have that, that's a good indicator you need a new router.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay, so what's the protocol that should be?
You want to use the WPA2.
Okay.
That's the one you want. Yeah. I mean, that's the second gen. And if it doesn't, that's a good sign that says, I need a new router.
And the new ones, by the way, are set, I think, to start with the WPA2.
Yeah.
One other thing. Talk a little bit about the frequencies that are available now with these new routers. You can get a 5 gigabit.
Or five hertz.
The 5 hertz or the 2.4.
2.4.
I think it
2.4,
is.
2.4,
yeah.
2.4.
Yeah.
What is that, and what's the benefit of that?
Well, one of the benefits is that you want to make sure not to have one that's running at the same megahertz as like your microwave ovens or your cordless phones to keep the interference level down with
And which would that be, generally speaking?
I would normally make sure I have a 5 because the 2.4, a lot of the older cordless phones was running at 2.4.
So, folks, when you get in there, and it gives you options, you could have, matter of fact, on mine, I can do both.
Yes.
I can have both, and it'll switch automatically to the better one.
Correct.
And so you can get that done as
and
well.
And all the newer ones will automatically do that anyway.
Exactly. So that's just something to keep in mind that'll help you to get better performance out of the router once you've got it running up. And it's extremely important. Once you've got a decent computer, having a good router is like the most important piece of computer
you can
have.
It gives you the ability to maximize the bandwidth that you're buying from your internet service provider. And if you have a router that's slower, it's like, you know, it's coming in at 70 miles an hour and it hits your router and drops down to 55. Well, mm-hmm. you're not getting a maximum benefit from it.
One last question for you, kind of a general one. Where's the best place to put the router?
It depends on the type of house you got.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of ranch-style homes, I have always suggested to people to put it in the ceiling in the centermost portion of the house. That way you get a nice spread across the house that
gotcha.
Way.
Okay.
In the case of a multi-level home, depending on the type of home it is, like if you look at some of your older Tudor-type houses mm-hmm. where you have a lot of the older bathrooms in it that have the wire mesh embedded into the tile,
right.
You may have to put in multiple routers in order to get a good spread
across the house. Or a repeater. And what is a repeater, basically?
It takes your signal from the original router and just repeats it on.
Okay, so
it carries it on.
You put it someplace else in the house, and then you're able to get that signal going forward.
Yeah.
Whether down to a basement or upstairs to the third mm-hmm. story.
Repeaters are a little bit cheaper, but I generally will say, why waste the money? Just go ahead and buy a second router. That way, if one dies, the other one's there to back.
Excellent idea. Hey, guys, thank you so much again to Gary Baker, Cal Carson, Shane Hamlin. I'm Foster Brown. Thank you, folks. By the way, during the week, go to internetadvisor.net. If you have a question for us, and go to our main website and click on the Contact Us button and send us your email with your question. We'll be happy during the week to answer it or to bring it with us when we come here on Saturdays. And don't forget that now, from April through September, 5 to 6 p.m. on WJR in Detroit, that's the place to be to find us, where you can call us live with your questions and get some of the answers that you need as well. Have a great holiday weekend. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Foster Brown.